Thank you for that wonderful time of worship. Can we just have a seat and still in that attitude of prayer and worship, we'll just spend some time just to pray and just reflect on the goodness of God. Like that last song says, God is good. And there's an adage in my local language in Yoruba which says, when you know how to think, you will definitely know how to thank God. Because when you think and reflect and think about the goodness of God, then you will appreciate and see how much more God has helped us. So to help us just to focus the mind again, we'll go to another psalm and we'll just use that. And for just the next few minutes, all I want us to do is just to offer God a prayer of thankfulness. I just want you to thank God for all that He has done for you. I want you to thank Him. The Bible says we give Him thanks in all situations. In all things, we give Him thanks. And that's all I want you to do tonight. Let the only prayer that will come out of your heart just be a prayer of thanksgiving. You know, for the good times, for the bad times, for the challenging times, you know, for all that is ahead of you, I just want thanksgiving to well up from our heart. And let's read Psalm 118 together, just as we did earlier, just as a way to help us focus on that. I thought it would be nice if we could maybe have a men and a women thing. If the men read the first verse, the women can read the second verse, and we just kind of go through that again, just to help us. Because in this psalm, we see David giving us some examples of things that we can be thankful to God for, just to help frame our minds and just remind us of all those wondrous and marvelous things that God has done for us. So if the men will start from verse 1, the women will read the next verse, and then the men the next verse, and we'll run through it until we get to the end of Psalm 118. So let's start now. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us with balls in his hands. Join in the festal procession of the altar. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I just give us a moment of reflection. If you just want to pray quietly in your own heart and just want to offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God, I just give us a few minutes to do that personally. Amen. Amen. Just for another couple of minutes, we're just going to look at a few things that God has put on my heart as I was just praying and thinking about 2016 and thinking about 2017. And I come from a tradition where the crossover service is quite a big deal, really. And it's probably one of the only times in my country where the whole town empties and everybody's in church. You know, even people who never come into church will come into church for the what night service. So, you know, you will see the pub once it's about 11:30, the whole pub will empty out and everybody will leave the pub and dash to the church across from the pub. And then once they say, Happy New Year, everybody's fine, then they dash out and head back into the pub and continue. But everybody goes into the church. That's just that whole myth about you just want to spend that first part of the day and just acknowledging God and acknowledging how it comes from you. But one of the things that I have picked up from that and one of the things that I've challenged me from that is also that whole looking to God and seeking God to give you something as you step into the new year. I don't think like Paul says to people, you know, people might give one honor to one day above the other days, and none of those things at the end of the day really matter most. But the most important thing is really what God can do with it. And as I began to think about this and as I began to pray, one of the things that struck my heart though is in God's interaction with his people, a day or a contact with God can make a significant difference. One encounter, one particular encounter, one particular day, one particular experience with God changes direction and changes the course of the life of his people. And that's something that our God does over and over and over and over and over again. And so when I look at the new year, we and the family try to focus more on that because we know that we serve a God who in a moment, in an instant, in an encounter, can do something in your life and in your situation that just changes everything, that gives a whole different perspective to the journey of life. So we like to use, you know, that as a pause to say, Lord, 2017 is like a project. It's like the next thing. And we say, Lord, we want to give that to you. What will you do with that? And then I like to say, God, give me something. Give me a word. Give me an idea. Put something in my heart about this course of time. So that can become a focus for my heart and a focus in which I can pursue and I can get a sense of direction of what you're trying to do with me. And as I was praying into this, I felt the Lord saying to me, 2017 is almost like that focus. It gives us an opportunity to pause, to reflect and to say, Lord, just speak to me about this course or this period in my life. Give me a sense of what you want to do with me and what you want to do with us as a church. And that was my prayer, and that was what I was seeking the Lord for. And the Lord brought me to this passage in Jeremiah chapter 9. We'll start reading from verse 23. And we're going to read verse 23 and verse 24. And I believe this is what the Lord has put on my heart to share with us tonight. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. Verse 24. Sorry, 24. I'm just waiting for him to bring that. I'm sorry. 9:24, yeah. Yes. I'll start again. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast in their wisdom, nor the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in this I delight, declares the Lord. Now that passage is sandwiched between a period in the life of God's people where they were going through a significant challenge, and the Lord was challenging them about where their heart and where their confidence and where their trust was. And in the middle of that, we come across this passage, and it says, if you want to boast, and he recognizes that there are things that we could boast about, things we could brag about, things that we might delight ourselves in, or things that we could depend upon, or things that gives us a source of security. And he talks about wisdom, he talks about strength, he talks about might, and he talks about riches. But the Lord challenges us people, and he says, yes, all of these things are good, and all of these things are things that you could put your confidence and your assurance in. He says, but I have a better challenge for you, and I have a better advice for you. And I say to us, don't boast about your strength. Don't boast about your wisdom. Don't boast about your riches. But rather, boast that you know me. That you understand me. And that you know that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, righteousness, and justice. And I feel one of the challenges that God is saying, as we look into 2017, God is saying, let your heart, as you look towards that year, not be resting, delighting, or confident in the fact that you're very wise, or that you've got strength, or you've got ability in yourselves, or you've got some good riches to talk about, and you kind of know your cushion. He says, no, let none that be your focus. But for 2017, the only thing I want you to delight yourself in, to brag about, to boast about, to depend upon, is the fact that you understand me, and that you know me. And you know my lordship, and you know my character, and you know the way that I manifest myself, and I make myself known to my people. And it says, let that be your focus. Let that be my focus. Emmanuel, the Lord says to you, if you are going to boast in anything in 2017, let it be in the fact that we understand Emmanuel. That we know him. That we understand him. That our understanding of him, our knowledge of him, the wisdom that comes from him is the focus, and that which enables us to be able to think we can look forward and we can go. Let that be our priority for this new year, for this chunk of our lives. Let it not be about activities. Let it be about being who we are. Not what we do, but who we are. Because when you talk about strength and riches and all of that, those are the kind of things and activities. But you say, no, just the fact that you understand me, that's who you are. That's who you are. That's your being. That's what grounds you. That's what separates you. If that is the pursuit of your heart, and if that is the desire of your heart, you will discover the strength and the grace of God that will take you beyond what you would have ever dreamed of when you think about 2017. They said about the disciples, they said they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And therefore they called them what? They called them disciples because they reflected Jesus. The only way we can truly reflect Emmanuel is when we have been with Emmanuel. Except we really know Emmanuel, except we really understand Emmanuel, we cannot be Emmanuel. We cannot reflect Emmanuel. We cannot reflect the essence of who he is and what he is and what he stands for. God with us, we can only reflect him as we know him, as we understand him, then we can make him known. We can make him know. We can make that become the reality of everyone we come in contact with. We first must experience it for ourselves before we can become the people who are able to reflect and share this truth with other people. So if there is a pursuit for you for 2017, I want to make an appeal and say the Lord wants us as individuals and as a church to say we want to understand and know Emmanuel for ourselves. And as we know him and understand him, we will be able to reflect him to our world. We'll be able to reflect him to my brothers and my sisters. I'll be able to reflect him to in my home. I'll be able to reflect him in my work. I'll be able to reflect it in my interaction with everybody. Fruitful and effective service can only come when we know him. Fruitful and effective service only comes from a place of knowing him, from a place of understanding him. Otherwise, it just becomes mere activities. So as we pursue him, as we focus on him, as we discover him more and more for ourselves, we will find this out. And as I thought about this, it brought two things particularly to my heart. And I'm just going to look at two scriptures to kind of try and buttress that point. Because I asked myself a question. If the Lord says your boast should be that you know me, I guess then I can suppose that if God says you can boast that you understand and you know me, that means it's possible for me to understand and to know him. Because I don't think it will be asking me to do something which is impossible for me to do. And if he's saying, I don't want you to do any of these things, I just want you to do only this one, then I guess it means that it is possible for me to be able to do it. And that's why he's saying to me, this is where you need to invest your energy or direct yourself, because I know this is possible. And let's look at two examples here. Let's quickly open to Genesis chapter 25, verse 30 to 34. This is a story we all know very well, and you'll see the link into where I'm going, where I feel the Lord is challenging us. And it's the story of Jacob and Esau. As we know, when Jacob came and he was hungry and he needed food, and Esau came down from the field and he wanted to eat, and he came to him. And he said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that new red stew. I'm famished. And that's why it was called Edom. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. And he says, look, I am about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then he got up and left. So Esau dispersed his birthright. Now, as I was thinking about that whole concept of understanding and knowing God, to understand and know somebody intimately, you need to get access to them. If you don't have access to me, you will struggle to probably know me or be able to understand me intimately. So one of the key things in being able to know and understand God is access to God. And we have access to him through salvation. Because the Bible says we've all been grafted through Christ Jesus. We have now become part of his family. It says we can come boldly into the throne of God. Because what? Because the blood of Jesus has made atonement for us. He has opened a gateway. We can now go in into God. We have a birthright. Birthright gives you access to the inheritance of that particular lineage. I cannot go and claim the queen's asset because I'm not the queen's son. But his children have access to that because they've been born into that family. Your children have access to your inheritance. We as God's children, we have access into all the promises
and all that God has prepared for us. That gives us access. And that access is our birthright. It's that which enables us. The Bible says now we can be called the children of God. And when I read this story, one of the things I felt the Lord saying is, if we are going to make a success of understanding God, we need to reevaluate our understanding and our value of our birthright. How important do you consider your birthright? How important do you consider that which gives you access to your Father's treasures and all that He has made available? And the challenge is that sometimes we are like Esau, where even though, as we know even in that tradition, as a son, he's got access into all the covenant promises of the Father. And we know with Abraham, God has said, I have made a covenant with Abraham and to your seed forever. So when you are the seed of Abraham, you have access into some wonderful covenant with God. But Esau did not fully comprehend, he did not fully understand the preciousness of that birthright. And for a morsel of meat, for a momentary pleasure, for something that satisfied his carnal mind, something that satisfied his flesh, something that kind of gave him a momentary pleasure, he was willing to trade it off and just say, what's it to me anyway? You can have my birthright if you want. It's nothing to me. And we might think, what has that got to do with me? But are there not things in our lives today that challenges that same thing? That challenges our birthright? Are we not trading our birthright? Are we not trading our access, that which gives us that eternal covenant with God? Are we not trading it for things that are momentarily pleasurable, or things that do not glorify God, or things that may lure us or actually drift us away from Him? Just because we are not paying attention. And sometimes the enemy might trick us and make us think it's not important. Spending time with God is not as important. Valuing the truth of God's word, living your life according to His principle and according to it, is not important. Why? Because you're trusting in your wisdom, you're trusting in your strength, you're trusting in your riches. You're moving away from the access that your birthright gives you. You're beginning to lean on that which momentarily satisfies. And you say, it's not important. As long as I've got my wisdom, as long as I've got my strength, as long as I've got my riches, I'll be okay. God can do whatever He wants to do. We despise the access that we as children and covenant people of God gives us. And we take it for granted. And Esau lost out because of that. And the second thing I want us to look at very quickly is, let's go to the book of Chronicles. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. And we're going to look at 3 to 14 there. We're not going to read the whole passage, but I'll just pick up one thing to take it off from there. And we'll see a different example of somebody who had an understanding of what God is challenging us about tonight. So 1 Kings chapter 3, I'll start from verse 5. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. In another situation, just as you and I here tonight, Solomon was waiting on the Lord. He was seeking the face of the Lord. And in that moment, at that night time, the Lord appeared to him and He says, ask me what you want. And let's see what Solomon asked Him. Can we move on to the next one? Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was afraid. He was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him, and I've given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. What Solomon doing is reminding God of the covenant promises, of all the things that God has promised his father. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too. Next one. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? I love the way the King James Bible puts it. It says, give your servant an understanding heart so that what? I may be able to govern your people. So Solomon once asked God for an understanding heart. And guess what happened? The Lord gave him what he asked for. And a few verses down the line, he says, the Lord says, because you have asked me for wisdom and for knowledge, what will happen? I will give it to you. But I will not just give you that. I will give you riches. I will give you honor. I will give you glory because you have asked me the right thing. So we see in the life of Solomon that he asked the Lord for an understanding heart, a discerning heart, and the Lord blessed Solomon with an understanding heart. So when we go back to that Jeremiah 9, which says, let your boast be that you understand me. It is possible. And we see an example in the life of Solomon that he asked God for an understanding heart and God gave it to him. And tonight, just as it was with Solomon, I see the Lord is standing here with each one of us and he's asking you and me, what will you ask of me? As you look at 2017, as you see that as a project before you, as you look at that here, if the Lord is asking you tonight, what will you ask me to give you, to help you with 2017? What will be your answer to the Lord? Can I advise you? Can I encourage you? Can I challenge you like Solomon to say, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Help me to know how to discern your heart. Why? So that I can fulfill this task that you have set before me. I see 2017 as a task that the Lord has set before each one of us. And I'm saying to the Lord, I've never gone that way before. None of us have gone that way before. But we know that you can help us to do all that you want us to do with this year and to make it a success. But Lord, we need a discerning heart. We need that understanding. We need to be able to understand you, know you, so that we can do that which is right. And that was exactly what Solomon asked the Lord. But more than that, the Lord says, because you have asked for this wisdom, because you have asked for an ability to understand me, to discern my heart, in order to be a blessing to my people, I will also bless you with even those things that you have not asked for. And there we see riches, we see wisdom, we see strength. But this is not the one that depends on any human strength. This is the one that depends on that which comes from God, our Savior. And so can I encourage us tonight that as we look at 2017, let that be the prayer of your heart. Let that be the prayer of my heart. That Lord, in 2017, like I've never ever done before, the focus of my life will be to know you, to understand you, that will be my boast. To be able to discern your heart, to be able to know your mind, to be able to understand your mind, and to be able to walk in that knowledge and live my life the way you want me to do it. And I believe as we do that, the Lord will open up his treasures unto us. We will suddenly discover that there are great treasures for us in our Father's house. That our Father is rich, is extravagant in love, is full of loving kindness, is full of the greatest riches and wisdom and honor. And whatever we delight is just abundant in our Father's house. But we cannot get our hands on that until we're close to our Father's heart. Because as we come into his heart, as we come closer to him, then all of his treasures are freely us. And he's blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we begin to experience and begin to see that come to pass in each of our lives. So as we think about that, and as we begin to get ready, just as we step into the new year, as we begin to think about that, and in a couple of minutes now we're going to speak into that new year, I want to just give us an opportunity to ask God for something as you go into 2017.
And I want you to think about what we've shared tonight. Because the Lord himself has told you what he would like you to do. What he would like you to ask him. What he would want you to focus on in this 2017. So you've got an opportunity now to actually pray and ask God. And remember, that night as Solomon prayed, the Bible says God heard him. And in that night, he answered him. And that set the course of his life. Because we see the proof of that answer to that prayer. That midnight prayer changed the course of Solomon's life. Because God honored that prayer that he prayed. So can we pray as we then begin to count down into 2017? I'll just give you a few minutes to pray. And as we get ready to welcome 2017, can I invite the band to come as we get ready as well? So as you watch that clock, we're going to count down from 10, remember? So once we get to 10 seconds, we're all going to have a go together and then we're all going to have a big ray as we go into 2017. Yeah. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year to every one of you. Happy New Year. Can we all just say Happy New Year? Just greet one another. Happy New Year. Bless you. Happy New Year. Thank you. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Okay. Yeah. So we just do this. Yeah.
I do that one, then you can go in your...
Yeah. We do this song, and then we'll come in. Okay, we're continuing that sense of celebration. We're going to do one song, and then after that song, we're going to be breaking bread. And I'll just come up and tell you how we're going to do that. But we'll just take this song, and then we'll do that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for this privilege of joining together in this way as we enter into this new year. We thank you for all that you have done in 2016. But Lord, tonight, each one of us, and as a community, we ask that you will deepen our understanding of who you are and who we are in you. Lord, we ask that in all that we do, it's your face we seek. Lord, it's all for your glory. It's all for your name. It's all for your honor. And we ask, Lord, that as we seek you with all of our hearts, you will release to us miracle after miracle of provision, of healing, of grace. That we will find in you, Lord, all that we need because of who we are in Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you. And we want to grow deeper in our understanding this coming year. Let us recognize the riches of the inheritance we have in Jesus. All for his glory. Amen.
If you sit down, we're just going to shortly break bread. And we're going to do it slightly differently this morning when it comes to breaking of the bread. I'm going to have the two elders standing at each of the table, and the elders are going to serve everybody the wine. So the elders are going to serve everybody the wine. Now, when it comes to the bread, I'm going to encourage you to pair up, and I'm going to get you to serve one another the bread. So when you're approaching the table, make sure you're with somebody. You don't serve yourself. I want us to serve. And the significance of this is, as we're stepping into this new year, we're making some declarations. You know, we're saying to the Lord, as a community of God's people, we're coming together. The first act as a community is coming to your table, because we value and we recognize that as a really, really important sacrament, a really important part of what Jesus has done for us. And that's the first thing we want to do together as a family of God's people. But even in doing that, we want to serve one another. And we want to say, God, this is the template as we go into this year. That as a community, you're going to unite our hearts. We're going to come alongside one another. We're going to serve one another. As we serve you, as we deepen our understanding of you, out of that will flow a much more effective serving of one another. Serving our community, serving our world, and just honoring one another in a relationship and in our work with you. And so that's why when you're coming, you're going to serve somebody the bread and let somebody serve you, and we're going to get the elders actually serve us the wine. That is our prayer. That is an outworking of what we're trusting the Lord for as we go into 2017. And then just before we do this, so when we come to that, I'm going to get them to sing a song. We're going to do that song, Wonder. So as you go there, just listen and just let that song minister to you as you do that. Secondly, as we do the breaking of the bread, we're going to give time to spend some time and pray. If anybody would like to have some prayers, this would be the opportunity and the time to be able to do that. Once you've had the bread, there will be people here willing to pray about. When I was praying for this meeting, the Lord put a few things on my heart where I just wanted to quickly share. And if that falls into you, or if that belongs into that category, if you would like to have some prayer, please just feel free and come. I felt there's somebody here that the Lord was saying to me, you know, there's a passage in Scripture that says, when you break the hedge, the serpent spikes. That means there's certain things we can do that can cut off the covering of God upon our lives. And if you feel a sense that is actually, you know, there's something you've done, or there's something that is going on in your life that you feel as taking you out of God's covering, and you know it has exposed you to something that you know is not of God. But the Lord says tonight, he wants to restore that. And he wants to seal that opening that has given the enemy access to your life. He wants to put a seal, because the blood of Jesus has made a covenant for us, and he can seal that. And if that's you, please, you know, feel free to either pray yourself or seek me out or any of the elders when we do that. The second thing, when we were reading that passage in Psalm 51, when the psalmist says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. You know, maybe you're here today and you have lost that joy. Salvation has become just a mere conundrum. It's just become, you know, something that is just completely dry and senseless, and you've just lost the joy of the salvation, the joy that you used to knew, how much salvation meant to you, and that joy. The Lord wants to restore that joy tonight. And if that's you, please seek out and let's pray with you, because the Lord wants to do that.
And then finally, there's somebody here who you're struggling with finding satisfaction in what you're doing. And the Lord gave me that picture of that woman who came to the well. And Jesus said her and says, if you know who was speaking to you, you will ask me to give you the water so that you will not need to come and draw there. And he says, oh, but, you know, I come here every time. You've done the same thing all of the same time. But I believe tonight Jesus is standing beside you. And he's saying, you don't have to continue to do the same thing that has not brought any satisfaction. Today, Jesus wants to give you a new water. He wants to touch that endless cycle that is bringing you to the same point over and over again. He wants to break that chain. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to draw you to himself. And he wants to fill you with his water of life. And he makes that offer to you. If you're here tonight and that speaks into your situation, please, I want you to do that. Finally, the story of Zacchaeus, as he stood, he was a short man. He was standing on that tree. And there are things in your life that you feel, maybe not me. Maybe I'm not worthy enough. Maybe just not me. But as Jesus got to that tree, he looked up onto that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Because tonight, I'm going to dine with you. I'm going to go into your house. And the Bible tells us that once Zacchaeus responded to Jesus' invitation, and he received Jesus' call, what happened? His life was transformed. And how do we know that? Because the scripture tells us that after that, he began to make restitution. A man whose life was so overtaken by greed and money, and then suddenly wants to give everything away. That's the proof that something has happened in his heart. And maybe you're in that place tonight that you just feel, well, I don't know what it is that you just feel, like we sang in that song, shackles or things that you just feel has cut you off from God and the resources of God. And you feel, it just can't be me. Jesus says tonight, I want to come in and I want to dine with you. I want to sup with you. I want to live with you. I want you to know and experience the newness of life and the power that my spirit brings. If any of this situation relates to you, please, I want to encourage you to pray and just to seek us out. Can we just go to the table now? We take that song. Thank you.